Good morning.
Good morning.
The Holy Spirit says good morning to you this morning and says, come into my house full of praise. Give me glory, and I will come here today, and I will join you, and I will heal your bodies, and I will mend your emotions. I am the Holy Spirit, God of the Trinity. I love each and every one of you. This morning, as you partake in communion, spend time in my presence. Bring to me the desires of your heart, and I will show you how those desires will be met by God as long as they are in accordance with God's plan for each and every one of you.
Amen.
Come, my children, and rejoice.
Mm-hmm.
Praise me this morning so that I can inhabit your praises. Amen.
How about we all stand for the opening scripture? And it should be on this. You're so cute. You might want to stand where you can also read it. And it's Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace by which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Amen.
Amen. Let everything that, everything that, everything that happeth praise the Lord. Everything that, everything that, everything that happeth praise the Lord. Everything that, everything that, everything that happeth praise the Lord. Everything that, everything that, everything that. Praise you in the morning, praise you in the evening, praise you when I'm young and when I'm old. Praise you when I'm laughing, praise you when I'm grieving, praise you every season of the soul. Let everything that, everything that, everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Everything that, everything that, everything. Lord, everything that, everything that, everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. Everything that, everything that, everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. Praise you in the heavens, joining with the angels, praising you forever and a day. Praise you on the earth now, joining with creation, calling all the nations to your praise. If they could see how much you're worth, your power, your might, your endless love, then surely they would never cease to praise. Let everything that, everything that, everything that everything that, everything that, everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Lord, there is truly none like you. None. And it's amazing that you love us and that you want only good for us. We just praise you, Lord. We continue to praise and worship you. And we ask, Lord, that you would accept these gifts as an extension of worshiping the one and only true God who gave us his Son, Jesus, for our salvation. Amen.
Let's join together in singing during this time. Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved. joy and peace when we mend there 10,000 years bright shining as the sun. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Praise God, 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 praise God.
So you all know that I spent time on that thank you, but then I was surprised by your thank you to me. So I there are a few people here who didn't get to see that special. So I am going to let them see that special. So, okay, now I got to go like this, and then I got to go... Where do I go? Like this, right? And then I go like that, and then you're, there you go. Okay. So Debbie said, but I wanted to let them see it because I thought, well, there's three. Instead of showing individually, I'll show it. But also, I was just overwhelmed with what you guys did and the cards and the gifts. So thank you so much. That was very, very special. And I get to go shopping. So that's, you know, and my favorite was the gift cards to the Christian bookstore. I mean, I don't walk into the Christian bookstore because of that. Because, you know how, if you have a temptation that you need to avoid, not that it's not a good thing. For me, it's like I want to buy everything. And it's like, so I have to be very careful. But so I told my sister, because she's coming to visit and for a long weekend. The 19th, she comes in. So I said, I'm going to save the shopping for, you can help, me pick. So yeah. So I said, well, go, because it's a new Christian bookstore too that she's not seeing either. So I was so excited because, I mean, that's like, my heart is like, I love the Christian bookstore. So, anyways, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And then I get even extra. So it was really nice. It was an incredible blessing. So, and I apologize because they didn't tell me. Did you know that they didn't tell me? So I didn't get to sign your card because I didn't know. Yeah. So, I will pastor appreciate and pastor to be appreciate, in October. And, so, because Evelyn's going through this. Yeah. Oh, it's a surprise. Yeah, it'll be, you don't know, because the October, see, I won't do it on the official second Sunday, I think it is, right?
Oh,
yeah. Well, that was great. Thank you, you guys. I mean, that was just... You did. I mean, that was really awesome because I told Debbie and, I said, oh, you're going to miss what Paul saw me. I worked on that slide presentation for quite a time, for a few weeks ago, so I could practice the timing on, you know, with the song, and I found that simple song. I know it's a kid's song, but it was just, I wanted something to just say thank you, thank you, thank you. And I go, oh, that's cool. And I started thinking of ideas of how, what I could do. And I did, like I did, Bianne wasn't here, but I did the hummingbird for Bianne, and I did, like, you know, and I saw the Mickey Mouse for Arnie, and just, you know, and I just tried to, you know, those that love kitty cats, and just tried to have these different things for different likes of people that I knew. So I tried to just let you know how much I appreciate you. And we wouldn't be here, you know, if it wasn't for you. So thank you. Thank you. T-H-A-N-K. But now, also, we have had an incredible week of some exciting news. Oh, one thing too. Last week, Pastor Doug knew it had been a year, and he had Facebooked me, and I didn't know. So 58 slide. So he did it in the morning, and I didn't look at my Facebook. So this is a message from Pastor. I kind of created this slide, but this was his message on Facebook, and then I took his picture from Facebook, and then the family picture. So he said, give everyone at Pathway our love this morning. Give them a big hug from us. So I thought that was really nice. And then Monday, our previous, our founding senior pastor, Johnny Johnson, and his wife, Pastor Mindy, they are grandparents for the very first time. And so, and Arnie is a great-grandparent for the very first time. And I just thought it was so precious. So Bethany had this on Facebook, so I created this slide so you could see. Isn't she precious? Oh, she is so precious. So, and Arnie likes the name. So, Pastor Johnny and Mindy Will, you know, they're Giants fans, so, you know, Brooklyn with that in there. But with a Brooklyn Dodger fan, an L.A. fan, you know, Dodger fan, he's liking that name. He's going to make sure she has some blue, blue and white. So, but I thought that was neat. And I just want to encourage you to continue to pray for them. You know, it's when you have a first child, it's exciting, but yet, you know, there's challenges adjusting to having a baby and stuff. So please pray for them. And
wait till they get up and they get more grandkids.
I know you've got, she's a record, huh? Grandma Barbara's got the record. So, but a blessing. So, and then I want to remind you about the Breakdown International, that epic fundraiser that they're having for the tour, and I have flyers there. And then with that Michael Jr., who is a Christian comedian, and then if you went on there, you could hear some of what he's done as far as jokes. There is another slide that shows you the epic, and this was on their Facebook too that I created, and I had to redo adjusting, but it's just, it's a really incredible what they do and how they try to reach and help the youth. And so if you can, or tell people, they're really needing to get the word out. And Tucson's not always the easiest area to get the word out and try to get people to come. And so I just pray that you will bless and get the word out. And like, if you can't go, you could always obviously give to help towards it. But if you felt the Lord leading you to do that, remember, we give, you know, according to as we obedience to the Lord. You know, I'm not showing you this as a guilt trip, you know, to feel like you have to. But if you know of anybody too, tell them about this wonderful. They can look it up on Facebook and hear about it. They could call Amy or one of her, Ashley, that helps too. And so, or they could talk to me or Dean. So, and then.
Karen, Pastor Karen.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Woman.
Yeah.
She's a young mother, young wife. Mm-hmm. She has it on her heart to train up young people to use the arts to reach other young people. Mm-hmm. And the first year that I knew about it, Dean and Kay and Rhonda Garcia and Jeff and I brought meals to these young people that were being trained. They have a like almost a boot camp training. Mm-hmm. We brought meals and we got to know them, and up.
Yeah.
That's encouraging.
Yeah, they do that in the summer. Yeah.
Look, on the news. Mm-hmm. But these kids are
incredible. Yeah.
Amazing.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just fantastic. And Amy is.
Yeah.
Just
a neat couple. And totally. He helps a lot. Amy still, for many, many years, has done this without receiving any income. And her husband covers the cost because they even hire a child care in the house with her children, but her office is set up at home. But she has to work so much on it since it's gone international, too. She spends a lot of time on this, it goes to the ministry. It goes to the ministry. Yeah.
Those children that perform,
yeah,
they take a year out after high school, mm-hmm. of their life, a whole year, mm-hmm. and give it to the ministry.
Yeah.
Without that, of course, they're getting room and board.
So it's like they're missionaries.
It's mm-hmm. like missionaries. Yeah. It's not. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's incredible. And using the gifts and talents that God's given them to help encourage the youth. It's just really an awesome ministry. And also, I just want to tell you about remind you about the Eagle Forum. That has some great speakers, and it's just a much more intimate setting of like a intimate kind of conference type like setting, but it's kind of like not really a conference. It's good. Good speakers. And so I just wanted to remind you about that. And that's with, yes, Scottsdale, at the Orange Tree Resort or something like that.
Golf Resort,
yeah. And we went last year. It was really nice, and it was just really neat, the speakers that were good. And it looks like this year will be just as good. And the rooms were very nice. Also, ladies, I just want to let you know there is another rally coming up, the Leading Ladies Rally, and through the Company of Women. So I'm going to put this over here. There's some flyers, but I just got that this week, and so I just wanted to let you know about that. But it's just like God is just doing a lot of great things, and that's October 5th, and he's moving. And people are being touched and encouraged as we go through things, but in life. But this word is so precious. It is his living, breathing word, and it's awesome. And I want us to hold the word or your iPhone or your iPad or your iPod or whatever you have with your word, with the sword of the Spirit, your Bible. And if you don't have a Bible, I have extras over there and next to Debbie. But I just want us to touch it right now. I want us to close our eyes and just hold it. Lord, we thank you for your precious holy word. We thank you for the privilege that we have here in the United States of America to be able to hold your word and not worry about being imprisoned because having your word. I thank you that we are even often blessed with several versions of your word. Lord, I thank you for your precious holy word, and may we not neglect it, but may we just receive everything that you have for us. Lord, we surrender ourselves to you. Holy Spirit, teach us. Help us to hear what you have to speak to us. And help us to receive it. Lord, we thank you for this time together. And we thank you that as I'm just your vessel, your instrument, I thank you for the word that you've not only spoken to me and will continue to speak to me, through me, and to me as I speak, the message that you've given. Lord, I just get so encouraged and I'm so wowed by you. I'm so wowed by your word. So Lord, I just surrender our hearts, our eyes, our ears, our spirits, our souls. We are totally and completely mind, will, emotions surrendered to you, Lord God. We are yours, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Special service. Have any of you ever seen the Daily Bread? And The Daily Bread, it has a couple books out, and I have kept this Daily Bread because this one has cheetahs on it. And this one's from 2011, but that one's I have to keep. But I found out about the feast, you know, and we know that Jesus was Jewish, right? And we know that he observed all the feasts and the holy days, the festivals. And so I was just curious. I remember years ago when I first became a Christian getting this one, Celebrate the Feasts. But I saw that Daily Bread had a couple little things about the fall feasts and the spring feasts. And it's really a cute little booklet, very inexpensive, but also you can get it on PDF. And I saw it when I looked there, because I ordered these, but I saw that you can do it even just if you want to look at and read on it online. But it is good for us to be aware, because there's so much meaning in these festivals and these feasts that God had them do. And so we learned, like last Thursday was Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, and we had the shofar blow, and so we heard about what that meant, the head of the year. In other words, he is the king of the universe, the creator, the almighty, and they look at that as the head of the year, and that's the beginning of what is called, first I want to say that in the Hebrew language, the word for my feasts, which is what we're going through, is pronounced moadim, and it literally means appointed times or appointed feasts. So the Rosh Hashanah was the beginning of these feasts. So we see like a calendar, the Jewish calendar, and you can see the different feasts and stuff that it has. And the Lord had that because it was special times that he wanted them to have. In Leviticus chapter 23, verses 1 and 2, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts." So that's what he was saying. These are my appointed times. These are my appointed feasts. In the Jewish culture, these appointed times of the Lord are important for many reasons. These events are listed, and this is in one of the booklets that I got, you know, these events are listed in Leviticus 23, are part of the national system of timeouts. Together, they provide weekly, monthly, and yearly rest from the common routines of daily life. Hello. Have any of us seen that our daily lives can get complicated and full of things? They were not without trials and tribulations and their share of complications. So it was neat that God was saying, okay, I know, like, if you don't have it scheduled, and sometimes even if you have it scheduled, you kind of bump it, and that's not good. But God was saying, this is so important. Do not bump this. And you set this aside. And he knew, he understood the human body needed that break. Americans are one of the worst as far as being overworked, overstressed, overtired. They are not into taking fiestas and holidays and vacations as much. So, and many other countries reward better, and they do better as far as like fiestas or holidays and time outs. Appointed time outs. And we just as Americans haven't gotten really good on it. And some are doing better. And I've just, as a senior pastor and going through some of these conferences and things that the Four Square has had, they're emphasizing that. They're emphasizing, as a senior pastor, you've got it, but everybody should. You need to take that Sabbath, that day of rest. Whatever your R&R is, take that R&R, that day of rest. But also, it's a day to kind of also help you focus on the Lord more so than other days. But it's to be a day of no work and enjoyment. And then you have also, like, they were recommending the pastors to take one day a month of a set of time besides that to really seek the Lord. And then... every 3 months, 3 days. But it's good for all of us to at least take some time in our schedules to refocus. Like, in other words, a holiday. What this appointed time started, the Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, it is followed of a time of introspection when worshipers look into their own hearts for misdeeds against others and transgressions in thought or deed against God. This time of introspection is a 10-day period, and it is known as the Days of Awe. And these are 10 days of repentance when individuals attempt to right the wrongs they have committed. It is a time to prepare for the coming day of judgment, which is known as the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. The Day of Atonement, it is the end of the Days of Awe, and it begins on the sundown this year. It begins on the sundown of Friday, September 13th, and then ends on the sundown of Saturday, September 14th. Remember, their days were sundown to sundown. So here we are. We are facing another holy day, the Day of Atonement. And every day for us as Christians, we need to remember what he did. But I want to show how deep and rich this precious holy word is. I was looking up atonement using the Bible Gateway, and I saw that it was mentioned in the New King James Version 89 times, but all in the Old Testament. The Amplified 92 times, only 4 times in the New Testament. The New American Standard Bible, 80 times, all in the Old Testament. The King James Version, 70 times, only 1 time in the New Testament. Because they were going with other words. The Hebrew is kafar. And that's the one that was used the most. Then sometimes, a few times, it was used Kippur, where we get Yom Kippur. Kafar means to cover. And it means figuratively to expiate, to placate or cancel, to appease, to make an atonement, to cleanse, to forgive. So cleanse you see a lot in the New Testament. To forgive. Forgive you see a lot in the New Testament. You don't see the word atonement. Be merciful. Pacify, pardon, you see, purge away, put off, make reconciliation or make reconciled, reconcile. So you see reconciliation. So you see some of the terms of the definition, that word is used in the New Testament versus atonement. Same meaning. Kippur, as I said, expiation. And this one, though, is only in the plural, like meaning a lot, you know, of atonement for several. So it's the same word, just meaning in plural. Yom Kippur, you know, the Day of Atonement for all who come to him. Greek is katalage, and that is the one that they use in the King James Version, and that is exchange, and it's figuratively an adjustment made. Restoration to the divine favor, the atonement, the reconciliation. Atonement in the Noah Webster's Dictionary, 1828 American Dictionary, it's a noun, and it means agreement, concord, reconciliation, after enmity or controversy. The second definition, it says expiation. Satisfaction or reparation made by giving an equivalent for an injury or by doing or suffering that which is received in satisfaction for an offense or injury with or for someone. Then it gives the example from Leviticus 9, and Moses said to Aaron, go to the altar and offer thy sin offering and thy burnt offering and make atonement for thyself and for thy people. And then it goes on to the third definition in theology, the expiation of sin made by the obedience and personal sufferings of Christ. Remember that last week we went into Jesus came to serve, not to be served. And it was like, wow, Lord, to know what you've done for us. This is where we can look at Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, the Day of Atonement. Faith triumphs in trouble is one of the subtitles, and Christ in our place is another subtitle. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. I'm still working on that glory, rejoicing in that part. Still not having a ride on that one yet. Perfect. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us, each and every one who has Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us. And while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. He is alive. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. The King James Version uses atonement. The Amplified for Romans 5:11 says, not only so, but we also rejoice and exultingly glory in God, in his love and perfection through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received and enjoy our reconciliation. Every day we should be thanking him. We do not have to wait for these special times to have our sins atoned for. Jesus Christ did the atonement once and for all on Easter. Well, not Easter, but Resurrection Sunday. And that's when we celebrate it. That time of what he did for us. He died on the cross for us. Leviticus chapter 16 talks about the priest's duties. How incredible it was. What all he had to do. And it was very important to do it to the T. Doing it perfectly. Because he was atoning not only for his own sins, but for the sins of everyone that came to him. There were different types of atonement for different things. And that all went. There was a whole process and procedure. And you can see like part of it, they had the washing, then they had the incense, and then they had to do it with certain burning, and then they had to do it in a certain time in a certain way, and they had to make sure that the animal was a pure animal. And then when the priest would put his hands on the head of the animal, it was then that God was saying the representation of their sins he took upon himself, and then was transferring it onto the goat or the lamb. And then with the blood that was shed and sacrificed, they were washed and they were cleansed. They no longer had that. Well, Jesus Christ died for us. He is the great high priest who did the perfect sacrifice for everyone. And I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that I am New Testament time. I am so glad. I praise God for that. And I'm also thankful that I am a Christian in America where I don't have to go to and kill my own things to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm kind of glad about that because, yeah, I don't know if I could, I couldn't do what those priests did, you know. I would be like, Lord, you want me to do what? Yeah. You know, I would just, yeah. I mean, Paul, when we first were married, Paul loves fishing and he liked to cook too. And so he cooked a fish and he had it on the table and it had its head and the eyes. And I said, no. That just won't do. No. Yeah. So I just said, no. But I'm in awe at what these priests did. Out of their love and obedience. But I'm in, more awe of what Jesus did for us. And you know, Chris, talking about strong, I'm like, Jesus, remember he said, Lord, you know, if it be, could you take this cup away? But you know, not my will, but your will. I mean, he was feeling the stress and the strain of what all he was going to have to do for everybody. He wanted to do it for us. He came to do it for us. But he was feeling at that moment that stress and strain. Because he was fully human, but he was also fully God. And he knew his purpose and he knew his plan. But that's why when we saw that, because of his obedience, the sufferings that he took for us. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 30 says, and this is, remember, like where it says all these details of the priests and stuff. For on that day, the priest shall make atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11 says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. So we see that Jesus had to shed his blood for the atonement for each and every one of us. Isaiah chapter 53 talks about what Jesus did. This is a prophetic statement. There wasn't even, remember, and even in Psalms, it talks about crucifixion, and Romans didn't have that at that time. They didn't have, nobody knew what a crucifixion was, but the Lord is saying this is how he will die for us. Isaiah 53 is just an incredible chapter. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men. This is talking of Jesus. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. And yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? for he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. See, we've got to remember that. We see that part of it pleased the Lord because it was love, and he knew this is what needed to be done for us. And just as we saw in Romans 5, rejoice in persecutions and trials and tribulations, and it produces character and perseverance. But Jesus was our perfect example of what he went through for us. And out of that obedience, it pleased God. And God knows what's best with us. Do we really believe and claim Romans 8:28? For God will work all things out together for good to those who love him. In loving him, to those who are called according to his purpose, in loving him and called according to his purpose is to love him and obey him, just as Jesus did. And to love others, that's what the gospel is. Jesus was that perfect example. And it pleased the Lord in his obedience. It goes on to say, when you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many. Jesus, who came to serve his servant, he justified many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Wow. And it says, from the Dead Sea Scrolls and the Septuagint, for the verse 11, it says that from the labor of his soul, he shall see light. The glory of God Almighty. And we have that access. When Jesus is our personal Lord and Savior, when we truly recognize that we are sinners and the only way to heaven is truly recognizing you're a sinner, repenting of your sins, and saying, Jesus, I receive that amazing grace, that full free gift of salvation and the fullness that it carries with it. And I repent of my sins and I trust you, Jesus, as my own personal Lord and Savior. Not just knowing about you, not just knowing about what you did, but truly having you as my Lord and Savior. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16 says, inasmuch then as seeing we have a great high priest who has already ascended and passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession of faith in him. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize and have a shared feeling with our weaknesses and infirmities and liability to the assaults of temptation, but one who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sinning. Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need. Appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we need it. We have that through him. Remember, we're made free through him. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 says, and this is amplified, and such some of you were once, but but you were washed clean, purified by a complete atonement for sin and made free from the guilt of sin. I don't know about you. Have you ever failed of walking around guilty, feeling guilt? Because once you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we're not supposed to have guilt. Conviction, yeah. To, in that time of, you know, as the Jewish people are doing right now, the non-Messianic Jews, you know, are doing right now, they are, and, well, the Messianic Jews might be doing it too, because they might still be, but they're going to God, and, okay, what did I do wrong, and going over the year, okay, and can I make things right and stuff, but we are made free of the guilt of that. Now, God may convict us to, I want you to go back and say, apologize to somebody. I want you to go and do this for restitution. I want you to go and bless this person. Or, you know, he may have you do things like that. But the heart issue is truly one of repentance and saying, Lord, just correct me with your Holy Spirit when I need to be corrected. A conviction, not guilt. And you were consecrated. You were. Each one who has Jesus as their Lord and Savior, we're consecrated, we are set apart, we're hallowed, and we are justified, pronounced righteous by trusting in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Holy Spirit of our God. Because when we trust in the Holy Spirit who guides and directs us, we trust that we will not feel guilt, we will feel conviction on what to do and what not to do in that time of being obedient, just as Jesus was obedient. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 says, so it is evident that it was essential that he be made like his brethren in every respect in order that he might become a merciful, sympathetic, and faithful high priest in the things related to God to make atonement and propitiation for the people's sins. This tabernacle. I have all of this, and I'm going to have this up for this month because it is full of Jewish holidays. Usually I have it over there, but I'm going to have it up this month because this is a very precious, special month of remembering our Lord God and what each feast means and what he's done for us and how precious we are and how much he loves us. John McLean, he was born March 11th, 1785, that's slide 66, and he died April 4th, 1861. Paul has that Bible. What is it called, Paul? That's
the American Patriotic Bible.
Yeah, the American Patriotic Bible, and he saw this quote, and he told me about it. Now, John McLean, he had been an attorney, and then he was a U.S. United States Congressman for Ohio in the House of Representatives. And then he was the Justice of the Ohio Supreme Court. Then he was appointed by President James Monroe to serve as Commissioner of the United States General Land Office, and then as the United States Postmaster General. And his last position he served until his death was the appointment by President Andrew Jackson as Associate Justice of the United States Supreme Court. Appointments come by character. They knew and saw the character of John McLean. And John McLean said, "The price paid for our redemption shows the value of our immortal souls." Wow. The scriptures that I've just read to you, does it not show you the value of what Jesus did for us? It pleased God to have him go through what he went through for us. Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary says for redemption, this is several definitions down. In theology, the purchase of God's favor by the death and sufferings of Christ. The ransom of deliverance of sinners from the bondage of sin, the guilt of sin, and the penalties of God's violated law by the atonement of Christ. The price paid for our redemption shows the value of our immortal souls. Then it gives on a couple examples, Ephesians 1:7 and Colossians 1:14 in the dictionary, in whom we have redemption through his blood, Jesus. Psalm 68 verse 19 says, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Selah. We have those benefits by Jesus being our Lord and our Savior. All the fullness of God he was pleased to have to it, given to his Son, and his Son gives it to us. We are joint heirs by his blood, by his name, trusting in his name. Wow. That was the verse we were given on August 4th. God benefits. Well, then we had John 6:21. And this one we were given on August 11th. Receive into the boat. That was the message. John 6:21. Then they willingly and gladly received him into the boat, the ship. And immediately at once, the next thing they knew, the ship, the boat, was at the land where they were going, where they had steered toward. They were at a higher destination. They reached the shore toward which they had been slowly making their way. Another definition that this talked about was release. The redemption of a ship and cargo. Redemption. He did that so we could have all of his benefits. Our cargo is all the benefits of him. And when we have him in our ship, and we are looking to him, and the treasure should be him. X marks the spot. He will point us and direct us to where he wants us to be while we're traveling on this earth. Because every appointment that he has for us, he has everything written out in our days. And we are precious to him. And we are his ships. And we have his cargo. But we have to be willing to listen to what the Holy Spirit tells us. Because this precious holy word used to be in scrolls, is now in different forms. And we need to listen to what the Holy Spirit says. So as we are the ship moving, we are filled with his cargo, his benefits. Why? Because we daily recognize what we have is Jesus. And what we have by Jesus, through Jesus, and for God's glory. We can be looking to him continuously as our example on how to live. Because he was the ship, and he had the map by when he says, I do what my Father tells me to do, and I say what my Father tells me to say. X marks the spot on my roadmap for each and every day as I travel the course on my way to heaven. So we need to remember, as Matthew 6:19 and 21 says, lay up treasures in heaven. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For there where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So you might say that we're pirates in a sense. But we're good pirates because we're pirates that love that treasure, but also capture others so that they too, instead of bad pirates, we want them to know our secrets to how to get their treasure. And then they get their own ship and they're loaded up with the benefits of the cargo by the redemption of what the Lord God did for them. Our Lord loves us. And that cross is the first T in atonement. And we need to remember that. And that blue page, to me, that atonement, remember the blue was the color of the ephod that the priests wore. And it represents healing, wholeness. And that's what we have through Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21 says, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation, being disciples. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. We're his disciples, as though God were making his appeal through us to them. We implore you on Christ's behalf. We be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for you, for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And everyone that doesn't know Jesus as our Lord and Savior need to know that. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Is it? Is your name written in the Book of Life? Because Jesus died for it to be written in the Book of Life. And Jesus died for every single one. God wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He doesn't want anyone to perish. But when we look at Jesus, we've got to remember that. Not only did he die on the cross, but he is the Lion of Judah. Yes, he is that precious lamb that was slain for us. But in that, he is resurrected. He is the King of Kings, and he wore that crown of thorns for us so that we can rise in the power of the Lion of Judah. We are changed when we look to him. We may feel like kittens, but we are lions, and we are mighty for him. And when we continue to look at him, his blood covers us. And we are that spotless bride, ready for him. But we need to remember to be alert, looking out, waiting for him. But we need to move with the fire of the Holy Spirit with us. It is he in us and through us as we continue to be that spotless bride, continuing, allowing the Holy Spirit to continue to convict us and to rectify what we need to do and to be in God's perfect will, perfect way, perfect timing, and to receive the cleansing power of what he has and to receive the power of his word, to receive the power of Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, the power of the mighty arm of God so we can continue to be out there because we've got our boots on, but they are on by the readiness of the preparation of the gospel of peace. We need to be in this word, feeding ourselves with this word. Then we are the spotless bride and we are able to go out there, mighty warriors for God, and powered by him and on fire for him. So we need to, on Yom Kippur, which is Friday, you know, the 13th, I know it's a Friday the 13th, but from, it's a blessed day because I don't believe in that, you know, Friday the 13th, bad stuff. And then to Saturday, sundown to sundown, I want you to have a blessed Yom Kippur. But I want others to have a blessed Yom Kippur. I want others to know what Jesus did for them. Campus Crusade for Christ founder Bill Bright said several years ago, because he's now with the Lord, but he said only 2% of believers in America regularly share their faith in Christ with others. I loved it when Jonathan, during the announcements, was sharing about how he's learning a lot in this discipleship, the Multiply Gathering, by Pastor Francis Chan and Pastor David Platt. And I just think it's like so awesome that he was sharing. He's even learning things. My sister's in a different program called Evangelism Explosion, which the leader of what she, and she was led this a couple years ago, and she goes, Karen, I don't have time, but I felt that the Lord was telling me to do this and to go to the meetings and memorize the scriptures and how. And then their leader, though, is incorporating some different ways, not just only Evangelism Explosion. And he's incorporating and showing them different ways to help get over that and to evangelize. Do you remember a song called People Get Ready? There's a train a-coming. I remember hearing that for the first time when I knew it was more from James Taylor, but many artists had sung that song. And Curtis Mayfield wrote this song, People Get Ready for the Impressions, who had their biggest hit with the song in 1965. And this song was credited with changing the face of popular music, and dozens of singers and bands have recorded covered versions ever since. And Curtis Mayfield, though, he didn't have an easy childhood. His father left him when he was 5 years old, and he lived in Chicago, Illinois, and they moved from project to project until finally, when he was in high school, they finally stayed at this one project. But by then, he was so gifted and played many different instruments. He started working for the Impressions, and then he wrote this song. But he said he wrote this song. Mayfield said, that was taken from my church or from the upbringing of messages from the church. Like, there's no hiding place, and get on board, and images of that sort. I must have been in a very deep mood of that type of religious inspiration when I wrote that song. Thus, the song is the first Impressions hit to feature Mayfield's guitar in the break. So God used that talent. But see, he was at church, and he heard the word. People get ready. There's a train a-coming. You don't need no baggage. You just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. You don't need no ticket. You just thank the Lord. So people get ready for the train to Jordan. There's a train to Jordan. So picking up passengers coast to coast, faith is the key. Open the doors and board them. There's hope for all among those loved the most. God loves. He wants everyone to be saved. There ain't no room for the hopeless sinner who's saying, I don't care what you did for me, Lord. Who would hurt all mankind just to save his own soul. Have pity on those whose chances grow thinner. For there is no hiding place against the kingdom's throne. So people get ready. There's a train a-coming. You don't need no baggage. You just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. You don't need no ticket. You just thank the Lord. I was wondering, why did he use Jordan? But I was looking up about Jordan, and God repeatedly designated Jordan as a land of peace and refuge, where Ruth, Elijah, David, King David, Jesus, John the Baptist, and the first Christian communities, among others, found safety and peace. There are many out there that need his safety and his peace, the healing power of what Jesus offers to them and what they have through him and all his benefits. But they need him, because the peace that surpasses all understanding to guard our hearts and our minds only comes through Jesus Christ being our Lord and Savior. There is another song that I remember, Softly and Tenderly. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching for you and for me. Come home, you who are weary, come home. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, oh sinner, come home. He's waiting for us. The door's there, the gate, the portal, the train to board. He's there waiting for each and every one of us. And for those who don't know, but we need to remember, our duty is to share what Jesus did for us. Right now, I'm going to have the ushers hand out the elements. For this is a special time to remember what Jesus did for us. This is a time for us to reflect on anything that maybe we've done or not done, said or not said, acted, reacted, responded, that was pleasing or not pleasing to the Lord, thanking God for those times when we did well, but repenting of those times when, of anything that the Holy Spirit will convict us of, to repent of. Because we don't want to take the Lord's Supper without truly having Jesus as our Lord and Savior, without truly having repentant hearts. We need to come to Him, truly thanking Him for what He did for us on the cross. This true remembrance. We need to thank Him that by His stripes we are healed, and He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. We need to thank Him that if we confess our sins, He is always faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to thank Him that he who conceals his sin does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. We need to thank Him for that mercy as we confess and say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. We need to go to Him. This is a special time. This is a special season. He did this for us, and we need to receive it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 34, but I won't read all of it. This is where the Apostle Paul is talking about how to conduct it, the Lord's Supper, the institution of the Lord's Supper. And he's talking to the Corinthians, and but he says in verse 23, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread. And when Jesus had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Thank you, Jesus. Let us take. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Let us drink together. Thank him for what he did for us. It's because of what he did for us that we are always able to do everything that he asks us to do. We are able to go out and be the ambassadors, the disciples for him, helping others, helping other Christians to continue to grow in him and be strengthened in this time, but helping those who do not know Jesus as the Lord and Savior, relying on the Holy Spirit to, and praying for divine appointments, praying for him to use us as his vessel, his instrument. But we can't do things on our own. Only through him we are able to do above and beyond what we ever think or imagine we can do. Because when we are weak, then we are strong, and we can exult and be joyous in him and through him, because it is the power of what Jesus did for us, the blood that is shed for us, his name, and the power of the resurrection that is in us, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of his fullness that is in us, that we can go on and be and do what he's called us to be and do for God's glory. And we will do even greater things than Jesus did if we continue to rely on him. But it'll be for God's glory, because Jesus says, I will do that for you. Just ask in my name and I will do it. But it's not for his glory. It's for Father's glory. Pastor Janet, can you close us in a song? Chris, could you please offer the prayer altar ministry too? If you need more prayer, please use this time for prayer. I thank you for your precious holy word, Lord God. I thank you for the power in your word. And as I pray and declare this, may each be touched and receive what you have for them through your precious holy word. May you, Lord God, bless each one here. May you, Lord God, watch over each one, guard each one, and keep each one. May you, Lord God, make your face to shine upon and enlighten each one. May you, Lord God Almighty, be gracious, kind, merciful, and giving favor unto each one. And may you, Lord God, lift up your approving countenance upon each one. and give each one your peace through Jesus being their Lord and their Savior. We thank you and praise you, Lord. May we walk in your peace. May we move in your peace. May we be empowered by your peace. No matter what we face, we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.